Are you ready? Jerry?
Yes.
We'll call the commissioners portion of the joint session to order.
We'll call the council session of the joint commission council session to order. Larry did have an emergency. Yes. He walked up the steps. He had to leave himself. Which he was, and his granddaughter is the best. So.
Case in order.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I think we all know why we're here, to sort out the details with whether my project coordinator will be part-time or full-time in 2017. Quick rehashing of the facts so that we're all on the same page. 2 years ago, I made the request to make my previous assistant full-time, and that did not go through, and I then lost him to a full-time job at Notre Dame. Hired Kristen last year, made the same request, did not go through. This year, we made that request again, went through the whole process. I submit the budget to the CDC executive board. They sign off on it, make their changes, go to the full CDC. They give me the green light, goes to the auditor, come to you. And at my budget meeting, initially, I had been told that we were not touching it. But then, in between them and the next council meeting, she had been brought back down to part-time. And that is where we stand now. And I am here per Mr. Sullivan's request that I come in front of the joint session to see if we can all get on the same page and get this sorted out once and for all so that council can approve the budgets and we can move on with our lives and move on with moving Plaskett County forward.
Any questions for Mr. Order regarding his request?
I believe that you all received a packet of information from me, the email detailing the countless reasons why this is necessary, including the fact that I am carrying more PTO than I'm allowed to carry over next year, so I have no choice but to take more than a week off, and that is in addition to the excess comp time I am carrying, and the fact that I have no overtime budget left to get paid rather than taking the PTO, or the comp time rather, because that is just how busy we have been the last few weeks in the run-up to this weekend's festival and the state's torch relay. Kristen has even exceeded the 28-hour cap a couple times because there's just been more work than we've been able to get done under our regular parameters. In addition to the letter, the journal was included detailing everything that we've accomplished just in the last 2.5 years while returning more than $200,000 in annual budget money to the county unexpended because we have been incredibly frugal. You have letters from Bill Champion, past president of the CDC and director of operations at FRATCO, Courtney Ford, president of the Park Board, former hospital board president, chairman, former CDC president, West Central School Corporation superintendent Don Street, Darlene Mellon, a member of the CDC who is involved in our HCI team, is on the Francisco Plan Commission, is an all-around citizen of the year after year in Francisville, all detailing their own personal experiences, not just with the CDC, but specifically seeing what Kristen has brought to the team. In addition, I have probably a dozen, if not more, people in this room who have all firsthand witnessed what we have been able to accomplish as it is now. Members of the CDC, business owners, manufacturing, retail, everybody who can all attest to what we've accomplished and, quite frankly, how much more we could accomplish given the opportunity to do so. We have placed this bicentennial thing. 100 years ago, Plaskett County was basically the laughingstock of the state because our first coordinator was shipped off to the Mexican border. The second one didn't do anything. This year, Doug, you were there. You saw what the crowd looked like for the torch handoff and the proclamation on the courthouse lawn. It was incredible. Kristen can attest because she was in one of the cars with the state troopers, or the state troopers, and I think the whole damn town of Winnemac is here. I mean, this is a big friggin' deal, and we aced it. We aced it, and that's all because of Kristen. Kristen's got a friggin' master's degree. She's making $13 an hour, working 28 hours a week cap. She's not getting the best deal, and we're not getting the best deal. I understand. You guys have very thankless jobs. But we've all covered the fact I am not funded. My office is not funded by property taxes. we're not under the same scrutiny as the general fund is. And you guys have to approve a budget every year paying 10 times as much to pay off the behemoth of a justice center we have as it would take to make her full-time. It's going to take $25,000, $26,000 a year more to make her full-time. That's 10% of what we keep paying every year for that jail that's not making us any money. And the entire purpose of the CDC is to make this place a more attractive people for residents and to increase assessed value to support the county's operations.
Nathan, is there going to be another bicentennial next year?
No. There's going to be the continued tourism promotion, the Tourism Advisory Council, because nobody else in this county is promoting our natural resources. There's going to be the continued support of our workforce development operations. Linda, you pointed out last at our budget meeting that you don't see the workforce agency doing. That's all us. The grant we've got, $85,000 we brought in from the state, and the $10,000+ in private money we raised from local businesses to support this new RamTech program at West Central, all the oversight of that. The new Adopt a River program to promote river etiquette and not in protecting our, inarguably, our greatest natural resource, the Tippecanoe, as we increase tourism. State Park this year, almost 140,000 visitors. Riverside Rentals, the best weekday operations I think they've ever had. We're putting Pulaski County on the map. We're making it a place where people want to visit. And that is the first step to getting them to want to live here.
And it's about time that somebody tried. Because there have been many people who have been working at it and not gotten nearly the assistance that you're getting actually this year. Thank goodness.
And I appreciate the work you do, too. I mean, the tax abatement thing now, I don't have any concerns about that. It's been bringing that before the council. Everything is done right. You're following up on that. And you're keeping track of that. I mean, that's something that you didn't mention that you also do this responsibly.
I didn't even want to emphasize that. That's part of the course. My entire argument here is all the things that she brings, the added value she provides that I didn't have on my own. I didn't have under my first assistant, who was really just a secretary. I didn't have under my second assistant, who was excellent, but just didn't compare her. And she's got a passion, an unmatched passion for this community. I mean, she, this weekend at the Torch Fest, everyone there participated in the community pledge that she wrote, pledging to do your best for this community. I don't know where I would be without her in the office. I don't know what Pulaski County would be without her in the office. But it wouldn't be moving forward the way we are now. Like I said, I'm at risk of burning out. You know, 40 hours a week. I get that. A lot of people, that's nothing. But when you're capped, when you're supposed to be a 35-hour employee, when you run out of overtime and you're starting to push the limits for your PTO and your comp time, there's a problem there. And I said in my letter to you, it's not going to be as bad as it's been the last month, but it's never going to get easier again because we just keep shifting higher and higher, trying to do what we can with the resources we can have to make this the best place we can be. There's end of this year, if every penny in the CDC budget is spent, if every penny of CDIT money that goes to the IT department is spent, there will still be more than $1.4 million in that fund, not including the almost $600,000 we have in the CD, not including everything that comes in next year in CDIT. $26,000 out of $1.4 million, it's a drop in the bucket for value well beyond what she's going to get paid. You can have a team that gets companies to grow here and guides them through the way and convinces them this is the place to go. Or we can go back to the status quo and see what happens.
Commissioner Guana, what's your feel on that?
I put my feel on Jay, and she's a very important asset to this community, and I think she needs to be full-time.
And I don't want to speak for Mr. Brady, but I'm quite certain he would say
and Larry,
Mr. Brady expressed this to me when he was leaving that he was for the full time.
Yes.
As a CDC board member, I echo the sentiments. I think that a lot less would get done without Kristen, a lot more could get done with her full time.
Yeah, and one of the biggest things, it's if eventually I lose her because she needs to be full time, I'll find somebody else, and I might find somebody else good, but how much time am I going to have to spend bringing that person up to speed? You know, how much more busy as it is, how much more am I going to spend, and how much time am I going to waste getting somebody caught up to speed?
Do you have anything else?
Answers to any questions you have. You got a question, I got an answer.
No, I think you've done a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, continue to as well. Good presentation. I would make a motion that we approve this full time.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second to approve the part time position to full time position for the CDC director. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, we have one opposition. We have a budget that we're going to adopt today, and that does not include the full-time individual, and that's been advertised as such. This would have to be an additional after the budget's approved, correct? So,
do you want to make her full-time as of January the 1st or now?
That wasn't discussed with this motion.
Okay.
If it's January 1st, does that mean that we just included in the passing of the...
We have to advertise it that way. We have to wait till we'll approve the budget as advertised, and then we have to make an additional for that individual after the budget's advertised. If we want to make it for this year now, then we can do that. I think it would take a second motion to do that, that it would be as of whenever, October.
You'd have to advertise that as an additional, though, wouldn't you?
You can transfer in your budget.
I can try.
You got all kinds left over.
Yeah, transfer. But we still don't know what's going to happen with the land on the west side. Where that money's going to come from?
It's $4,000.
Okay. I'm good with it if you guys are. I don't know if she's ready to go.
Okay.
Are we talking then? Are you?
I don't
suggest a now or.
Are you suggesting a transfer?
If you say now, I'll go now. I'd have to look at the numbers and see if we can cover the increase in FICA, adding PERF, that sort of thing. I don't know. We had not intended to request until the first of the year.
If she becomes the first of the year, then we can make the additional right after the first of the year for
you
that.
You could change the amount in the adoption right now. Because what he had in there for the budget request is about, let's see, 40. About $60,000 less than what was advertised.
Okay.
So if all you're changing is his benefits and her wage,
okay.
I mean, you can sign the adoption, and the only thing that will have to change is the 2411 on here.
Just so it's legal, that's all.
If you want to do it for January the 1st.
I would suggest January the 1st.
Okay.
Are we still open for comment? Because I just want to point...
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to point out that I appreciate that type of work. I've obviously done that type of work, so I appreciate what you've been doing and what you're going to continue to do. I do just want to remind you that when you guys, anybody talks about wages, it's only $26,000, it's only $15,000, it's only $17,000. You're not including the insurance.
No, the $26,000 includes it. That number that I just threw out there includes, not insurance, but she doesn't need
exactly.
Insurance.
Okay.
But that includes...
But I just want to remind everybody as a whole, every time people come to us, it's not just the salary and the wage.
You're absolutely right.
And please don't try to guarantee that if they get full time that they're going to be here, because we are finding that out, but that's not a guarantee.
But we will give you the full time position so we can have that. Okay, so January 1st then would be full time position. Is there any discussion on the wage? Is the matrix clear on what the wage would be?
Whatever the number I put in is based on the matrix as it was provided to me.
Okay.
Comfortable with that, Doug? The ones that are the matrix
provided to you by whom?
By the that's part of the LS.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I'm just going to hang out now until
one other question I know you and I had talked about Doug Hoover, the situation with the building inspector, and to...
The CDC has discussed it. They still need more information, I've presented...
I would like to see that happen.
I'm not sure if it would necessarily happen now. It may happen at some point. I'm sure we can work on it.
Yeah. I'd like you to consider that. I think Doug would be in favor of it. And then you guys can work together a little bit more on that.
At the last planning commission meeting, I did discuss to him. I said, I feel bad because I imagine I would end up bumping you out of a department head position. I thought, actually, you might be the one who wins here.
Yeah.
But the planning commission has heard about it. Doug has heard about it. We'll see how things pan out with his assistant's position.
So it's not a dead issue.
I think the CDC needs more information.
Good thing, but you guys, whatever.
And the commissioners, especially after the new year, and whatever the makeup of the council looks like after the new year, that may need further discussion with the new decision makers. But we are still open to it.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. I promise you will not regret this.
Yes, ma'am. Did Roger make the motion?
Yes, he did.
Who seconded it?
Mike seconded it.
Mike?
And then
okay,
Alex,
according to my salary ordinance that I'm getting ready for you guys to sign, I have no matrix for the CDC officer. So is Kristen going to follow?
I just followed the same rates as the other matrix. I didn't have one specifically for me now.
Okay. So she would follow like
first deputy.
Okay.
That's what I put her in on based on the departments.
Okay. Ready for Mr. Ruff, Terry?
Yeah, Terry, come on up. Sure. Information.
Hi, Terry.
You were to follow him. Could he speak after you get done with Terry and?
Yeah, the only reason I brought it is that the agenda said Terry was next, and not on the agenda.
It was. Absolutely. I just forgot to put David on there,
okay.
But he had called and asked to be part of Nathan's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you write that a second? Okay, go ahead. Terry's willing to step aside for a second if you have any comments.
First of all, as a CDC board member, I thank you for doing what we just happened. I really appreciate that. I've been on about 5 years, Buff. I came on board 3 months after Nathan started the job. And I got a front row seat every month. And I'm pretty faithful. And so I appreciate what you did because we feel it's important. If you weren't in town this weekend, send those guys a big thank you. They worked their butts off to put on a fest that a lot of people didn't really take time to enjoy. But hey, it was a very important time in our history of our state. It's a great time to, as a community, come together, and I really appreciate what they did. I would like to address the group on some concerns that I have as a citizen, but because we just finished up with Nathan, I do want to thank the commission and the council for approving Kristen, because she's, I call them the dynamic duo, and they are. You don't have any idea how fortunate we are in Plaskett County to have two young, energetic, well-educated people that are passionate about our community and seeing it grow. And that passion shows through in their energy, and just like this Torch Fest thing, they came up and they took it and ran with it, literally, not bringing the torch to the fest. I've been to those meetings. The other counties, they're good. Somebody's going to steal him. That's a fact. They're going to come along, they're going to make an offer that he can't refuse because he's sharp. He enjoys what he does, and he's good at it. He's going to end up in Valpo or LaPorte or Lake County, and we're going to be the loss for that. So don't take it for granted. In my feeling, we got a good backup now.
He dresses well, too.
Thanks, Jay.
My concern as a citizen, I appreciate the opportunity to present to the board and the commission and the council because I get concerned about the leadership in our communities. I've lived here for 25 years. I've been more aware of county leadership in the last 10 years. And since I've gone on the CDC board, I've become a lot more aware. It's not an easy job. Pulaski County is not an easy county to live in. I got a small business, a really small masonry business. I can't shrink them off yet. I got a job down there. But when you own a small business in Pulaski County, you have to be smart. You have to be fast on your feet. You got to be quick to take a job that works for you, and you got to be quick to get out of a job that doesn't work for you. Pulaski County is no different as a government. We don't have the corporate citizens. We don't have the assets that Lake County has, that Porter County has, that Tippecanoe County has. We're one of these. We're not even a collar county. We're the redheaded stepchild in the state of Indiana, and there's a dozen or so around. And we fall in between the cracks. We don't get the money back to the state that we send down there. Just like owning a small business, we got to be smart. And I hear comments that come from these groups that are not smart. They're not intelligent. And that's frustrating. As a taxpayer, it really gets me. It heats me up. Nothing personal. I'll share a story. A past commissioner. I presented something to them on the street. Just happened to be passing. A concern I had. That commissioner suggested that I write a letter. And I said, I just told you. Can't I just communicate it? Can't you carry it for me? Apparently not. That person's not here. They're gone. That really disappointed me. A CDC board is going to ask for more money. We want to do a land swap, and we want to develop an industrial park. I don't think a lot of people understand that vision. That's part of being a small county. That's part of being a creative, thinking outside the box, just like a small business has to do. Yes, it's a risk. As I'm also a board member on the industrial park board, as that was called. I serve on that for whatever reason. Commissioners asked me to serve on that too. One of those board members made a comment. It's kind of like jumping out of the airplane to find out if your parachute is good or not. It's not quite that dramatic in terms of what we want to do with an industrial park, but we have to be creative. We have to do things different because we're out here in the middle of nowhere, and nobody wants to be here. And to attract other businesses, we've got to do things that are outside the box. It is risky, just like having a small business, just like whatever you guys do that you do. I don't know all of you. I know some of you. Farming or whatever. You'd have to take risks. And what I appreciate about the approach we're taking on that industrial is that we're calculating. And we're every last penny, we're figuring it out. And the land swap is actually a pretty good trade. So don't just dismiss it because it doesn't sound like something we should be doing. I get frustrated when I don't see leadership. I get frustrated when I hear comments like, take your master's degree, go back home. That's insulting. That's insulting to the citizens. That's definitely insulting to the person that heard it. Think before you speak. And if you got an issue you got a problem with, maybe learn the issue. That industrial park thing is not easy to figure out. Real leadership from this group would look into it a lot closer than just sit and take the report. Real leadership. There's a lot of things real leadership does, and sometimes it can be lacking. I don't want to be all critical because I wouldn't want you to run. Somebody asked me, you want to run? I said, you couldn't give me a run. No way. Okay? But just like a small business, we got to be smart. We got to be quick on our feet. We got to get up early. We got to stay up late. We got to work harder than other counties do. And if you're on a council, you better be willing to work harder. If you're on a commissioner, you better be willing to work harder. That's what I'm asking as a citizen. I know the passion is here. You don't always show it. But sometimes ignorance really jumps up. And I don't care for as a citizen. And I'm more than happy to answer questions on some of these contentious issues. I just volunteer. I come to the meetings. I don't pay anything. I've never turned a bill in. I've done a fair amount of traveling for the CDC. Nathan's asked me to do some things. I could have got reimbursed for different things. I forget it. I just do it because I appreciate the community. I want to give back. But I'm glad to answer questions about that whole, I don't know, what was it called? Joke of the thing that Nathan's putting together. It's not a joke. It may be our opportunity to keep our taxes where they belong, down low, have a little more people contributing. So don't brush that aside. I do want to bring one more thing. I'm plugging one more thing on that industrial park board. I watch that CDIT account pretty close because that's where CDC gets their money, so I feel like that's my account. You know, as a board member, that's our money. That's why I look at it. It's not. It's the county's money, whatever. But it was designed, it's taken out of my paycheck to pay for economic development in this community. And it's a slush fund. You guys know it. You dig in there when you need to pay for road. You dig in there when you need to do area plan thing. When that zoning thing fell apart and we needed to redo it. Doug, you were in the meeting when I said, we're going to come for a day when we want that CDC money to apply for economic development. This industrial park is calling that in. As a board member watching that, and it happens a lot, I would suggest that the time I've been on the board, more money has been spent outside of CDC than inside. They would have to do some research on that, but CDIT money has gone to other things besides CDC almost more than CDC activities. And so, as that board member, I'm calling some of them IOUs back, asking for it. Consider that as this goes. Appreciate everything you do. I say some critical things. I say them as a concerned citizen. Sometimes it doesn't look so great on print. And, you know, when you get into other counties and you experience, it's 30 miles for me to drive over here. 30 minutes, I can be in Lafayette. My motivation to come to Winnemac is zero. But it's my county, and I do get here once in a while, and I do appreciate what you do. But boy, I see a lot of other counties, and I see how they operate, and we can work better together. I appreciate your time. Anybody have any questions you got, you can ask me now or call me later. I just had a few things I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thanks for your input.
I was told to bring three quotes for the proposed new county truck. Terry, you want to look at the quotes?
This the match, state matching.
Well, bottom line, yes. We've really been our budget. Worst case scenario, get tripped up on the budget. We'll go through the lower.
Do what now?
The lower.
Oh, right. I just wondering if we can get part of this is going to be part of the Indiana matching funds.
No.
If they don't match, they won't match.
The only thing we can get AMA funds from the lower now is 25%. Bottom line is, you guys okay this on the budget.
Yeah, we had your budget.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, if we turn it in before the first of the year, you beat the price increase that comes up the first of January. Plus, we need a truck in case we have a bad winter, so we just thought we'd put the wheels in motion. Gary and I come up with some figures, and then we went to the commissioner's meeting. They said we had to get at least three quotes.
Right.
So we got three quotes, and that way we can get things rolling.
You have money in this year's budget, right, for the truck?
The truck, actually, won't be
think we did.
We put it in the budget
yeah.
for next year.
What about this year, though, is what I'm saying. You have one in it for this year, too, for a truck.
We've got the mower.
You took the truck out? Okay, but you got one in for next year.
Yeah. One way or the other, we got it covered. Yes, James, what I'm trying to say. The bottom line is, we just get it. We probably won't have to pay for it until after the first of the year anyway, so it'll come out of next year's budget. So that's we were just trying to speed things along. Plus, the 1st of January, everything goes up 2 or 3% every year on the equipment. So we're just trying to save a little money there. So,
okay, you've got the numbers for you, Jay.
Yeah.
This is from Paulos, Mary, for the Mac. And it's $115,985. This is a Volvo, also from Pazzo. $118,183.74. This is a 2017 Mack from MTE, South Bend, $119,730.
Is there much of a difference on mileage right now? This is new, all new.
This is new, brand new.
That includes the...
That's a truck.
That's just a truck, not the bed, bed and the plow and everything.
The bed comes from Terry's. Terry truck. Yep.
The total for the whole nine yards is $165,965. That's for the cheapest truck.
That's for the Mac.
Yeah.
These are all new trucks, right?
Correct. Yeah. We kind of like to stay with the Mac if we can. We have a Volvo or two around there. That's why we got prices on each. Bottom line is we've got the software and everything for the Macs. Anything, I can't believe how complicated they are anymore, but the bottom line is that's what we'd like to stay with the Mack trucks if possible. So,
what did we have budgeted? We have 180,000 budgeted?
173.
Okay.
And so we go with the low one here, it'd be 165.9. So,
okay.
If we wait till after the first year, then that'll be right there around 173, I guess. We'll save a little money if we just go ahead and can start the process now, I guess.
Any comments from the council on that? We budgeted you the money to use for the truck. That's what it was there for. So.
We're getting a little bit. This way we get it sooner, and it's a little bit cheaper than if we wait till after. So if we go ahead and wait till January to get the truck, you know, put in for the truck, sometimes it's July before we ever see it. It takes that long. Hopefully we'll have it by early January or February. We might need it this winter anyways.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't that we were just jumping on the deal. We just kind of thought it was a smart thing to do. So.
I don't think you need any action from the council. You have the money in the budget. So
the bottom line is the commissioner suggested that during the bid, so that's why we're here, Terry. Okay. So.
Commissioners are comfortable with the bids. I think we're comfortable with the bids.
The Pozo Max where we bought the other trucks, and that's the Rose Bridge, or bid, so we'll go with them, I guess.
I entertain a motion to purchase a Max $115,985.
Make a motion to purchase the Mack truck for $115,985.
I have a motion. Here's a second. Motion second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
We don't have no outlet in the county to purchase these.
The municipality or anything that give me any kind of a break for Pozo or?
Well, we'll get the government break for Pozo.
You get the government break up.
Oh, yes, it's substantial what you get.
Yeah, it's a good government break.
Compared to you or I going to buy a truck like this, it's almost basically two thirds more.
Okay.
Substantial. On any of the equipment. So. That's all we got, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would think that if for some reason that you have enough money in this year's budget, you need to make a down payment on or something.
We got low money. We're all
you're okay to cover if you need
it. What I'm saying is the truck probably won't
be until the middle of December, and that'll be on next year's budget anyway, right? So.
I was thinking if you needed something, they needed somebody down or something.
No, we've never had to make it down.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Jay, have you had a chance to look at the amendments?
For the handbook policy?
Policy handbook, yeah.
I also put copies of them in your packet.
Yeah.
Let me just address that, these amendments real quickly. First, I just say, if you're not familiar with our process, we have a policy committee, certainly made up of two council members, a commissioner, the auditor, and myself as a county attorney. We take into consideration, about every 6 months, we come up with some new amendments, but it's a process that starts over again every time we come up with a new amendment where we bring in or issues are raised by department heads or elected officials on forms that we have available, sometimes by employees directly. Those issues, a lot of issues come up just by circumstance, that is that something comes up and we look at the language we have and we don't have a clear answer. And the auditor brings that to my attention and we put that on the agenda for the committee. Sometimes we invite department heads to come and comment on why they want a particular change to the policy. And that all happens at periodic meetings over that six-month time period, and then we weed out what we don't think needs to be amended, and we then discuss what we do think needs to be amended. We draft language, we then discuss that language, and then we present that to you. So what you're seeing is the end result of that process. I just wanted you to know that there is that process. If you don't like something in the policy book, think it doesn't make sense, then bring it to our attention, and we will go through it. And this group has worked together for quite a while now, so we're very familiar with the book and how it all works together. So I just wanted you to know that that process is available. The department heads know it's available. We've made that known at a lot of the meetings, but these particular amendments are not of real substance. Number six is just a simple thing that came up by circumstance. It says, in short, if you're terminated from one position at the county, you're terminated from any position you hold at the county. We came up with that twice, actually, in the last period of time. That is somebody who was working part-time for another department. When they were full-time somewhere else, they were terminated from the full-time position for cause, and there wasn't any clear language of whether or not can you continue to work part-time capacity. This says no, you cannot. Number seven is just, once again, a more point of clarity. The book already said you couldn't carry PTO hours over 50. It says it very clearly, but there was some contention about what do we do with those hours if they actually do it, even though the language says they shouldn't. Well, it says you lose them. It also clarifies that you don't jump back into the PTO hierarchy schedule or the seniority schedule. It allows you to get more PTO with your seniority if you leave employment with the county and then resume employment years later. You don't start back in where you left off. You start back at the beginning. The number eight is a fairly large amendment, a lot of language anyway. It's not terribly significant. It was a problem that the sheriff, and the sheriff's here probably to talk about it if he needs to, and Gary, but the problem they were having was scheduling. We spent a lot of time on this language just to try to come up with what was fair, but basically we had previously cut the sheriff's holidays down to 12. Most employees get 14. but they get 12 holidays. We did say before one a month. They were having trouble scheduling that. They would have months so they just couldn't get that holiday in. They wanted to give the people time off. So this is just an amendment to say you've got six in a 6-month time period. And then you can work those in, and that has worked very well for them. I think they'll attest to that. And it should work going forward. Same rule applies, though. If you don't use them up in that 6-month time period, we'll just, in this case, their holiday pit, and we'll just pay them out. You know, every other employee can use their holidays to get that benefit. They can't. And the other categories we broke down in here can't, like the kitchen staff, the dispatchers. They're all a little bit different. That's why there's different language for all of them. But if they can't use the holidays in a 6-month time period, then they're going to add to their check and pay out. So we're not having people carry large amounts of extra time over. And then number nine, we don't have unpaid leave for the county. We assume that every position that we have is a necessary position, so we don't just let people just take off time and hold the position open unpaid, but we did run into a little bit of a glitch, and that is when people would have already planned to use their PTO for a vacation or something like that, and then they would get hit with a snow day, and four, we said, you had to use your PTO time to cover that day. So if you were sent home for the day, you had to use PTO time. Well, they may not have had an extra 7 hours. They would plan to take the vacation. They already had their things booked. And now we took away their PTO time with a snow day. This says you can use your PTO if you want, but in this special circumstance, if you don't, you just don't get paid that day. So it is an unpaid leave, but it's under a very limited circumstance. And then number 10, oh, that's just adding the ability for anybody with a handicap POV registration to get their valet parking paid when they go to county. Don't get education or whatever they get, go to the county. That's it.
Got any questions on the amendments? I'll entertain a motion if we pass amendments 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to the policy handbook.
I make a motion to pass the amendment proposed.
I'll second. Have a motion second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Need action on the council part?
Yes.
I'll move to approve amendments 6 and 10 as presented.
Second. Got a motion and a second to approve amendments as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Yeah, I've got those names and we'll just put them on the site.
Okay. I've only got about 40 pages of the ordinances and resolutions to sort through. Did you get that right now?
Okay. We've got this sorted. We've got this sorted.
Yeah, this one. Right. Pretty easily.
That's all we have on our committee. Okay, motion to adjourn our portion.
Jerry, do you need to discuss the security committee stuff?
I wanted to do that. That's why Jeff is here. Jeff doesn't mind. Jeff Johnston. Is there security
committee?
I'm not on the
security committee.
I think it'd be me, Jay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay. Yeah.
Not you, right?
Right.
No,
Judge isn't here. Everybody get that letter from the...
Yes.
Okay.
Time the minutes of that last meeting, too. Basically, you know, we've set up a committee. The judge kind of oversees it, and I think we've had two meetings. And Doug sits on it to represent you guys, and Larry was at the last meeting for the commissioners. Murphy's on it. I'm on it. We have a a lady from the abstract office. We kind of tried to cover anybody that would be involved or have be affected by a courthouse security. So in this committee, we've come up that one of the things we could do until we figure out what we're going to do with the courthouse as far as the renovations and that would be a single point of entry. You know, almost any courthouse, that's the first thing they do is do a single point of entry. And so, you know, we decided that we would do that. And what I can do with my budget is we've looked into full body scanners that you walk through. I can pay for that and get that done. This is a piece of equipment that can be moved. So, you know, wherever it's decided this single point of entry is going to be, this, and it changes later on, this thing can be moved. It just plugs in and bolts to the floor, so it's easy to move. And, you know, checking with other sheriff's departments and other security deals, you know, it's almost two people to run one of those. And, you know, my idea was that we would use jail personnel, give them some extra training, and then we could rotate people around as far as, you know, I don't know. To me, that would be almost mind-numbing work to sit there and watch this thing all day and people walking through it. So my idea was that if we used jailers, we could rotate them around and keep people fresh to where they wouldn't get to where, you know, they weren't paying attention or whatever happens when you have to sit and watch something like that for 8 hours a day. So we could do that. You know, the judge has some ideas about one of them being mobile and roaming around the courthouse, and I don't see any issues with that. I think that we'd almost need another part-time person. So it's really like 2.5 people, I think, that we need to fully fund that. So that's kind of a single point of entry and what we've come up with as a committee on that. The panic buttons come up with some of the other office holders. Christy Hoffa is the office holder that's on the committee, and there's discussion about some of those are not probably in the best place as far as if they had some type of emergency and to have access to those. And RB wasn't at the last meeting, so we weren't able to discuss with him as far as the cost and expense of you know, adding more buttons. So they, you know, I don't know if every desk would have one or, you know, whatever they want to do in their offices as far as security. There's also some talk of office security of, you know, and I think that's where, I think Jeff's been consulted on some of that as far as making them so they're not so accessible where people can just walk right by the counter and be back in the office area and some of those issues. So that's been talked about. The other thing was identification cards for people that come into the courthouse as far as employees, attorneys that are in here pretty regular, this abstract people, just people that come in to the office or to the courthouse on a regular basis to where we could issue them an ID card and so they could do their business, I guess, easier. And we can do that. We've just got a new, it's really the child IDs that we do, and we've gotten a new one that actually prints on a plastic credit card, and it can be adjusted to be any kind of ID, and we could get different colors. I mean, you know, so that's something that we could do. We can print those out about 50 cents a piece. So, you know, I don't know that that would be a great cost. And then we talked about, as a committee, some educational programs for the employees to where, back in my day, this was all called verbal judo, and it's just, it teaches you how to talk to people, to de-escalate situations, and not to use words that fire people up, and it's really a good program, and it works very well, and I think that we have some people, Dr. Federer was brought up by the judge, and she does, I don't know if he, this, hers is this real colors classes. You got that? Okay, so you got the two classes that he's come up. FEMA has some excellent programs that I think that, you know, we could incorporate into the county employees as far as for them to be safer as if something happens in the courthouse or one of the other buildings. So that's kind of what we talked about on the educational part of it. We looked at funding, kind of, you know, looked at Doug for that. And, you know, everybody's talking about the little B fund, so that's, of course, where we went to look for funding as far as the, if we hire some more employees. And then the committee kind of wanted to get a date that this would start. There's people that's been on this committee longer than I have that, you know, talked about they've been on this for a long time and there's nothing ever really done, so... we wanted to have it implemented by the end of the year. So that's kind of what we covered, and I think what the judge was going to speak to as the security committee. So that's what we looked at.
So really the only thing that you're looking to us for would be the funding? You know,
I think the funding for the two employees would be...
You're talking one full-time and a part-time, right?
I'm talking two full-time.
We need somebody roaming around the courthouse if we got someone up front.
Well, you could, Jay. The thing I see about if we stick just one guy there, I think most of the time that's going to work. But, you know, when you get to tax season, when you got just that flood of people coming in there, there's not going to be, you know, it's going to take more than one guy.
And there are meetings and...
And I think the judge would, you know, his concern is you get some of these, you know, cases that are volatile. You know, you'd have a person that could come up there and watch those. So
yeah, I don't have any problem with that, but I just have a problem. I don't think we need two people. I don't know that we need one person, quite honestly, but two people would be, in my opinion, just way overkill.
And Jeff, these would be two more people to add to the matrix.
They would be
employees, right, full-time employees. On our single point of entry, is there any discussion as to where that might be? I think we need to consider the...
I think we're kind of leaning to these two bodies to decide that. I don't know that that's...
All right. You know, that's, we need to, ADA would be... We'll have to have it, what,
single point? At this point, the west side of the building, probably.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's a mobile station. If we need
that,
to...
That could be moved later.
This list of items was kind of the most bang for the buck.
Well, I would just like to say this is what we asked the committee to do last meeting, mm-hmm. and this was very well put together.
Thank you. Yes, it was.
I appreciate having, you know, like you said, top priorities, and then not doesn't seem like a whole lot to go into it right now to solve a few issues.
I still think we need to look into hiring them. By some outside people just stand there. Because they would, well, that's what this federal government does. Talk now, David. I don't know, I talked to a guy at the gas station that works for NIPSCO. He was sitting there and he had this uniform on in Madarioville when I came here. I go, what are you doing? Are you a policeman? He goes, no, I work for NIPSCO. He goes, I don't make the big bucks. I work for some other company. I almost asked him. I knew this was coming up. How much he got paid? But I thought, that's probably just too heavy. But how much does a full-time jailer make an hour?
I think we looked at like it was $80,000 for two of them. I don't know that that counts the insurance.
At 35 hours a week? Probably close. Yeah, I think you could probably get somebody $12. But you probably have to give the temporary service 50 cents an hour. I guess nobody liked that idea, so whatever.
Nope, I like that idea.
I would say
it was suggestive.
Sure,
it's
worth looking into.
Worth looking into, right?
In 80,000 versus 30.
It definitely is something if we have to have it. Yeah.
And I suppose even knowing that we don't know exactly what's going to go on with the courthouse renovation, if anything's going to change, that solution, if it's cheaper, that's the first part that's good. Second part would be we can cancel if there's a contractual thing. You know, instead of having two full-time people, then we then have to figure out what to do with it.
Would it be an option? You know, I know a lot of, especially the town officers,
work, Sherry, you were over from the variable books over the Brian is. If some of the deputies or some of the town cops on their off time did it, I don't know, you wouldn't have the benefits issues that you would have if you had jailers doing it. Instead of going in some temp firm or something or security firm where you have no real oversight, if you had guys who you know have been trained, been to the academy, or know our local community, maybe they pick up at least some of the shifts, and maybe you just need to hire one new person and then
just coordinate. If you do it that way, just coordinating and being here, you know, that would be the thing.
You probably get some of the tired guys set up.
Not too, but you get some familiar faces, and like I said, if they're already getting the benefits being deputies or town officers, you don't have to worry about that. You're just paying them the hourly rate.
Well, I think it, they want this budget before the first of the year. I think you better look at getting our metal detector in.
Do you want me to go ahead and get that?
We're going to need that anyway, regardless of what happens. I mean, we're going to have to come up with single point entry. And
hey, if you can go back with those questions we had.
Yeah. And
about the staffing.
Did you want to, as a committee, decide where the single point entry would be, or is that something that you want?
Well, we did discuss it some. You know, it's probably going to have to be where it's ADA accessible.
Yeah.
It'd have to be down in the basement, you know, that one of these basement doors, so.
It don't have to be that basement door, right?
I think
that's where the only one that makes common sense.
Yeah.
They don't have any legal issues with, like, if looking into a security company or anything like that?
Well, the committee was formed based on the Supreme Court's administrative rule, if you will, but that thing is almost 20 years old, I think. I wrote a memo on this and what the committee should come up with back in 2013. To answer your question, I don't think so, no. As long as you addressed it, but I mean, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. We would be by far, I go to every courthouse around. We by far the smallest county I've ever seen implement this. And there's not one in White County. There's not one in Fulton County.
No, there's one in Fulton County.
There's one what?
There's a security guy in Fulton County Courthouse.
I've never seen him.
He's there.
Stark County has a bailiff. An armed bailiff.
Yes, Stark County is in the process of getting their single point under that.
Jasper County has a single point.
Yes, Jasper has a single point.
And, of course, Cass County does, with security guards.
But this is a federal mandate, correct?
No.
It isn't a federal mandate.
No. From the Indiana Supreme Court.
Oh, it's Indiana Supreme Court mandate. Yes. Okay. All right, I thought it was federal. The feds probably said either you implement it in Indiana, you won't get any money, so they had to implement
it. I didn't hear it, but...
Got it.
She wants to look at a security company and get a price on that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I jot down everything you said.
And then, RB, you want to work on the, or with Jeff, work on the button deal so everybody has access to emergency?
Yeah, something that was inside of that also was for the security. They were wanting to have the lighted box, a buzzer of some sort, also for the single point of entry. So that if they were having an issue inside the building, that officer that's taking care of that there can actually respond before the sheriff's department actually came and actually took care of it all. So that would have to be something else we would have to actually look into.
Okay.
To see if that is actually even possible with the system that we have. The buttons themselves in the departments are able to be actually taken care of. So we can order new buttons, we can actually, you know, run the cable and so on and so forth for that. But the other side of that, of putting that that lighted box, that buzzer, whatever it is, next to there, that may be an issue.
Well, they would if they were our employees. I don't know if they would if they're a hired company.
And to answer that about the hiring of employees, I don't know that it'd be any cheaper. I mean, we wouldn't have the insurance liability in that on our end. I mean, unless they are a big company where, you know, they're $8 an hour, $9 an hour, whatever it is.
Well, we'll get to it.
It's going to be much cheaper.
They'll look into it, RV.
We've never gone, no, let's get out.
You look into it.
You're right. You're right. I mean, you're absolutely correct.
Jay, I think part of this plan, I think we should look into the security cameras as part of this.
Nobody wants that, Terry. Then they can see what everybody's doing.
You're right. There's been a lot of
discussion. Don't say the truth.
No, actually, if something would happen and there's proof that, I mean, it's there.
We discuss cameras a lot, and there's a question of what's public, what's not. Do we want to have all these hours of recordings that are available?
It's no intrusion on the employee. This would be at the entrances.
What he's saying, Terry, is what our discussion was about. Is you make all these recordings, then do they become public record? And
so I did talk to other counties on that. And they are public record, but they have to go through a process to actually get them
before they're released, right?
And so they could be denied also going through the
No, they can't be denied. If they ask for them and they're public record, you've got to turn them over.
The way that I was understanding from the other county, like, they'd be denied.
I'm telling you.
That needs more discussion.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're on that. We can discuss that. All right. Well, it's 7 o'clock. We're going to...
So really, all you want me to do is look for a security company and get a price.
Yes, please. Look for a security company and then look into the medical training.
Okay. I got the price for little.
Yeah, you gave us the price for that. Yeah, thank you guys for serving on the committee. Everybody that is here. Good job, by the way. Motion to adjourn to the joint session. All those papers say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Who made the motion? Who made the second, Roger?
Roger and Tom.
Okay.
Okay, now we'll go ahead and open the meeting for the 10th of October for the County Council regular session meeting.
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Nope. Hold on just a minute. Let me just...